Mr. Sinatra?
You may call me Frank.
I call you Frank.
Not yet. I'll let you know when you can.
This cat is dead. Give me a new cat.
Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Sequel. This is the movie podcast. We're talking sequels, and we do it in two parts. The first, an interview with an actor or someone involved that made the film worth watching. And the second, a discussion of the sequel, what they got right, what they got wrong, and how it could have been better. Hope you enjoyed last week's interview with actor, comedian, director, producer. He does it all. Sandy Hackett, son of legendary comedian Buddy Hackett. Had some amazing stories about his film short, My Buddy, about his dad, his Rat Pack show that he does all around the country, and his talented wife who sings. It's just a talented house they have. But no, Sandy was great. Love picking the brain to just know what it would be to grow up with your dad as Buddy Hackett. Like, there's so many comedians. I think Buddy, the way he was, it's like in the realm of like Rodney, because he has his voice and delivery and just so funny. And it was cool to talk about. He had a small role and we talked a little bit about it, but he wanted to talk about other stuff more about this week's sequel, Cannonball Run 2. And before we talk about like Cannonball, like what that means is into a race, I got to introduce you to my partner in the sequel watching journey, Jamie Riccardi. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, Doug. How are you doing?
This is great. Doing an in-studio one. We have a guest who we'll introduce in a second. It's just good having that like face-to-face while we're doing it. And to talk about this movie, because I got to tell you, you've been excited about a bunch of movies. And I got to be honest with you, they fell flat, I think. I think Superman 2 was a comedy. At least this is a comedy. But what do you remember? Do you remember this as a kid?
I do remember this as a kid. I've seen both of them multiple times. I still love this movie. So this is, you know, I'm negative on a lot of our reviews. To me, this definitely holds up as a worthy sequel. And again, a big part of it is because a lot of the people came back from the first movie. So I do like, well, you're saying you think this movie fell flat?
No. I was just asking because the other ones didn't do. No, the thing I love about this movie, I love the concept. And I don't know why they have it. I know it's like spoof movies. You can only do so many of them, but this works.
It works. Well, the problem is, you know, egos. So to make a movie like this, like today, you would have to, and I believe they are doing a remake. But to do a movie like this, egos have to be put aside. Money has to be put aside because people demand too much money. So if they could do it knowing that, you know what, it will gross a lot of money, you could probably do something with The Rock, Hart. Throw in what's his face from the Guardians of the Galaxy, like even throw
Chris Pratt,
yeah,
Vin
whatever.
Diesel? Would you put Vin Diesel in this?
Yeah, whatever. You could put in whoever. Yes, Vin Diesel. Yeah, as long as you take him away from the Fast and the Furious, I'm okay with.
Well, this could be Fast and the Furious 10 or 11, and it's
well, no. So now you just ruined the movie. So
all right. Before we talk about it too much, we got to introduce our guest. He's been a real trooper. He's only done. Two movies. That's
two
it.
Movie. Well, two of sort of the same movie. I mean, he kind of graduated.
Munchie Strikes Back, and now a movie that has a connection to Munchie. Two connections. Artie Johnson's in this movie.
Yep.
And Dom DeLuise, and that is our guest, our Munchie expert, Nick Spurdone. Nick, how you doing, man?
Great, guys. It's good to be back. You know, I was really hoping for another Munchie, but they didn't make any more. I can't believe they didn't make any more. But yeah, it was great doing this movie and seeing good old Dom again.
Be careful what you say, because if they make another Munchie, then that means we have to bring you back. Oh, so, God. I mean, you just graduated to like a massive celebrity-filled movie that's a classic. So, you know, I mean,
if I put that out in the universe, that will be one of the few regrets of my life.
But it wasn't for Munchie, we wouldn't get Jennifer Love Hewitt.
That is true. That is true.
It's scary that that's true.
That is true.
But yeah, so yeah, Artie Johnson, when I saw his name in the credits, because one thing that was crazy was you saw the credits of the main stars in this movie and you're like, wow, That's a lot. And then you had like a little bit about the writer, director and stuff like that. And then they did another more credits.
Yep.
And you saw those names in alphabetical order. It was like up to letter D. And I was like, holy shit.
It's really who's who during this time that was in this movie. And again, the first one, the same thing. They had the same, a lot of the same characters came back. And then they replaced some, you know, instead of Farrah Fawcett, they have Barbara Bach. Instead of,
Joe Theismann,
they had,
instead of Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw, right. Yeah. So, you know, they had the same, like, you know, but they, so many stars. I mean, Frank Sinatra, he was probably one of the biggest stars back then, you know, not even just acting, singing, like he's in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane how many people are in this movie.
They got a good day's worth of shooting out of Frank too. Like, you know, he just came in and was like, I'll just do that, do my stuff and then get out of here.
Well, you know what? Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin were both in the first
one.
So I'm sure they reached out during the Rat Pack, you know, and he said, listen, Frank, come on, just give us a little cameo in the next movie. Cause they're big stars in this movie. And to me, I think Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. are almost the best part of the whole movie. I love them both.
So I have never seen any of these movies. So I know me and Doug were talking and we were talking about doing a James Bond movie and I was like, all right, cool. And then he's like, all right, we're going to do Cannonball Run 2. And I'm doing my research and I'm like, oh, cool. It's got people that are associated with James Bond movies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, cool. And Roger Moore was in the first one. I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool.
Was he a spy in the first one?
No, but he played like a very similar character. He drove a nice car. He had a beautiful woman in the seat. Like he played like a James Bond type character. So, I mean, no, if you have never seen the first one, see the first one. I think it's just as good. Very similar movie. Although I would say there's probably more racing in the first one. This one is not a lot of racing until the last end of the movie.
There's no racing in this movie. They're obviously driving fast, but it's just driving fast. There's no time.
Nobody's on the road. When you see their cars, there's nobody on the road.
Yeah.
And Burt Reynolds obviously is probably the main star of this movie, him and Dom DeLuise. And their choice of vehicles for a race are horrible. Because in the first movie, their choice of vehicle is an ambulance. Okay, that's what they drove because they dressed as ambulance people. So this time they did the general and the sergeant, and they're driving a Cadillac or whatever that is, a Lincoln or like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was not something that I not think a race could even car. Go to right. 140 Correct. Miles an hour.
So the choice of cars, not a great choice.
Right. There were some questionable vehicles in this movie.
Many.
I mean,
many.
When you see the Ferrari in the beginning, you're like, all right, this is going to set us up for some really cool cars. And then you see like the limo with the, I don't want to jump ahead, but yeah, like the limo with the monkey. And you're like, wait, how is that going to get to Connecticut? Well, doesn't even look like it can get out of state.
100%. And then the girls that you see in the movie, they're playing the same characters that were in the first movie, but different girls.
Yeah. I think we're ready for the cannonball.
Oh yeah, I think so. How far is Redondo Beach?
150 miles?
An hour flat.
What are we waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
Always had a fast car. Like those girls, they're a big part of the movie. So
Can we be real right now and just talk about that? These girls, are they the worst drivers? Because are they breaking these cars or do they just forget to get gas?
They are the only ones that have an actual fast car. I mean, maybe Sammy Davis Jr. Maybe they also. But yes, their car over everybody else's car is constantly breaking down.
Yeah.
Okay. But they are female drivers. So I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. You know, it's not a coincidence that they're the only car that's breaking down.
We just lost every female driver. Well, I guess all can drive. I just said it like there was like a system that, okay, some women can drive, some women you can't drive.
There's a lot of stereotypes in this movie.
But not as bad as I thought. I really thought it was going to be...
There's still a handful. There's still definitely a handful.
Like starting from the very beginning, before the credit.
Falafel?
Yeah, falafel.
Oh, yeah, I mean, well, the fact that you have Jamie Farr playing a sheik, you know.
And Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, right.
That's who the dad was.
Oh, you didn't know?
No. All right.
So, yeah, so Ricardo Montalban.
His father, who looks like he could be his brother.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, he birthed him. He came from his loins. They look like,
and they're both playing sheiks, and they're non-sheik. So yes, so that just shows you what kind of movie it is.
So is JJ an evil Knievel like knockoff in the first one? Do they even talk about any of this?
You know what? I don't remember the first one as much as what I mean. He's definitely a con man of sorts. I mean, that's why he's always dressed up. I don't know if he's a stuntman or he. He probably is, only because there's always a fight scene. He's always, you know, trying to get the next quickest buck, and he definitely takes advantage of Dom DeLuise.
He does.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, so, but they have such a great rapport together. I mean, they're, you know, I'm sure a lot of their stuff was ad-libbed. Yeah. They're awesome.
I was expecting like a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles moment in this movie that Dom DeLuise was like offended. No.
No. Well, and Captain Chaos is in the first movie also, just to give you an idea. Yes.
Him is here.
Him is here.
Well, you see, I think you see a lot more of him in the first one. He drives, you know, when they need him to drive fast, he jumps in there. So, yeah, he's definitely in the first one.
So let's talk about the whole opening scene. So when I mentioned the Evel Knievel part. When you see Dom DeLuise in this bomb, a human bomb that's going to get dropped onto, it's supposed to get land on like a landing area and then be
a target, a net, and then haystacks.
Yes. So they're supposed to be normal, but he overhears a girl, right? A girl in the news? A newscaster?
No. A guy. Well, what happens is Dom DeLuise is supposed to do this because it's dangerous and Burt Reynolds does not want to go in there.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do it.
First of all, just let's talk about the bomb itself. There's no covering where the face is.
There's no padding inside of it. It's just sheet metal.
It's all metal. So there, I mean, it looks like the unsafest thing possible that you can go in.
You'd be bounced around like a...
But there's no face covering. I mean, you're going to hit the ground. Your face is going to... Your head's going to go through there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. So no, Dom DeLuise is supposed to be in there. He's afraid. But Burt Reynolds is like, listen, we're going to get paid. Don't worry about it. He walks away. He hears a newscaster saying... Wow, this is gonna be a great feat. This guy who's doing this is gonna have tons of women around him.
Yeah,
and that's besieged all he, by with autographs, and he'll be famous for the rest of his life.
So that's all. You know, he's such a womanizer. Burt Reynolds, he's like, let me get in there. So yeah,
the women will love him.
Yeah,
and his eyes like.
It was first the autographs, and then he'd be famous, and he's like excited about that. And then once he mentioned women, he's all excited.
Yeah.
But then he walks back, and that's the first scene of Captain Chaos comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was quick to get out of that. He knew it was dangerous. He was like, you want it? You got it.
Yeah.
Right. So my question with Captain Chaos, though, because he does pop out a lot, where does he keep his cape and his mask? Because because first of all, it'd be more wrinkled if it's shoved in his pocket.
That is true.
So, you know.
And that'd have been funnier if it was all wrinkled. And.
But yeah.
So then we get... the wonderful Artie Johnson as the German pilot.
Well, they said
Deutschland.
He told him Burt Reynolds told Dom DeLuise, we have a German World War II pilot that's going to fly it, so don't worry, it's going to be very safe. But he literally is a German, and the plane did not seem like a safe plane to begin with.
Well, as we saw at the end of Munchie, he can fly planes.
Oh, he can fly planes, yeah.
But like you said in a previous episode, though, driving one type of plane is not like driving another type of plane.
He's a listener.
I am a fan as well as
that is true.
So, yeah. But he seemed like he was doing all right.
He was doing all right and then got very pissed off at Burt and did like an early... Because I think he was supposed to get a little bit like lower to drop it. And he dropped him and he bounced through and...
Yeah, he missed the target. I mean, it's full metal. So, like, they were like, I'm assuming he was supposed to hit the target and land right in the net. He misses, like yards away.
Yeah.
Like, it bounces. That thing bounces a few times.
The civilian casualties were in the...
I was going to say that. How close were the people watching where this bomb went down?
It threw me back to the Fast and the Furious movie where they were dragging the tank through Brazil the bank vault through Brazil and just ripping through buildings, and I was like, there's got to be like 40 50 deaths at least.
You lost me on Fast and the Furious.
Well, in the Marvel movies when you see like a building get destroyed, right, you're like,
right. Okay, I'm back.
Many people died
back
now.
All right, I'm back.
Everybody's like, oh, Superman, we love you, and the building's like destroyed,
crumbling.
Like, thousand people just
But died. Literally, these people were watching where the bomb was, 3 feet in front of them when it was bouncing around? And no concern of safety whatsoever.
Yeah. No, they don't care. And who would go to that? Would that be like something you like take a date to? You're like, hey, I got these tickets for this show. Oh, what is it? So this guy's going to go into this bomb and he's going to drop into a net. Because if it happens perfect,
cool. Wait a second. Who would take a date? You mentioned that you brought a date to a heart. What was your first date?
Rambo.
Rambo, the most violent movie
and
ever. Balls of Fury. So, you know what? I would say bringing a date to a stunt stuntman's show is not that bad.
So you know what? If I would have taken those dates maybe to the right movie, I would never have met my wife and I would never have Emerson. So thankfully there was Rambo playing, and thankfully I forgot what was sold out for Balls of Fury. I feel like it was like Halloween.
Yeah, but you also don't know how traumatized you made this your date for now. Like, you don't know where she is right now. She could be in a psychiatric center right now because she's so traumatized by the violence that you brought her to that she probably
just writing your name on the walls yeah. over and over and over
so,
and over.
So, you know.
F does. Fuck.
I will.
She has a list that she
will get my revenge.
She has like a crippling fear of ping pong balls. Great. So then from there, we get Dom really quick. So Dom, Captain Chaos tells Bert about the race, but I love when he goes, if we could make $1 million, if we do this about
10 times a day.
And then he goes, really 10? He's like, I don't know, maybe 9?
He goes, you think, well, he rips up the paper for the race.
Yeah.
And he goes, what are you ripping? He goes, oh, we're going to do this 10 times a day. We don't, you know, and that's, yeah.
So Cannonball, was that ever a thing, or is that just a movie trope that was started with like, that's a mad, mad, mad world? Was that ever like a thing ever in this country? It'd be so cool. Country.
What, the race you mean?
Like a real race.
I think someone started one after the movie, but I don't think it was a real race before that. That's I don't know.
Right. So this, yeah.
But yeah, it's like a mad, mad, mad world, you know, kind of thing.
And there's a couple people from it. Well, only one, right? Sid Caesar.
They could be more. I mean, they could be more because there's a lot of people here I don't know. So it definitely could be more.
Mickey Rooney was busy this week when this movie was filmed. He's in everything.
Okay. Is he alive?
He was alive in 84.
Are you sure?
He was in the Muppet movie.
He was born in like 1910.
He was in the Muppet movie.
All right.
He was sitting on the bench during the opening number. Life's a Happy Song.
That was Mickey Rooney?
He was sitting on the bench.
Yeah. Was it John Denver?
John Denver is in the 90s. He can't find his head.
Oh, yeesh, too soon.
If he would have had Artie Johnson flying that plane, he'd still be
Artie
alive.
Was flying that plane.
Sorry. Well, he looks like John Denver. Artie looks like John Denver a little bit.
Oh, Jesus.
So as an Italian.
I love it.
The rigatonis, the tortellinis, the fettuccinis, and even the raviolis are bigger than we are.
You weren't offended by the next scene?
The raviolis.
I'll tell you why.
The rigatoni.
Because, first of all the guys that were around the table were all from The Godfather.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So you have Mo Green. If you know The Godfather, Mo Green was there. You have Tessio, which Ava Goda. Like, they were in The Godfather. The guy with the mustache, I believe, is in The Godfather.
Yeah, Michael Gazzo.
Yes. So it was like a spoof on The Godfather with the people from The Godfather.
And I read that they actually wanted to get Marlon Brando. He turned it down and he regretted it later on. He said he should have done the movie to show people he had a sense of humor.
Oh, that would have been amazing. That would have been amazing.
About the character that he played, the Dom.
Yeah. That's
amazing. But they had Dom DeLuise, so they didn't really need Marlon
So he, Brando. Was he like the Dom?
So
he was a Don Dom.
My son Don.
And then like 10 years after this, he did a spoof movie called The Godson.
Yeah. Yes. And he did The Freshman with Matthew Broderick.
Oh, no.
Oh, Marlon Brando.
I'm talking about Dom DeLuise. Dom DeLuise plays the same character in The Godson.
And Robin Hood Men in Tights, too.
You know what? Wait, that's your impression of us?
That's our first guest impression.
That is true. That is the first guest impression.
This cat is dead.
Oh, dude, I love that. Get me a new cat.
I thought it was very fun. The spoof, because they're using the actual actors from the movie, made it better.
No. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, they were from The Godfather.
Yeah,
I know Ava Goda, obviously. I know Mo Green, obviously. Yeah. Mo Green is actually crazy in this.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Rocco is crazy.
Oh, that's Ava Goda's buddy?
That's Mo Green, who was on TV shows.
He gets shot in the eye during the end of the scene of Godfather.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
While he's getting a massage.
So, he was, but the rigatonis, the fettuccinis, the linguinis, and even the raviolis.
Yeah, even the raviolis. Those raviolis. But now Nick alluded to it already, but when he has the cat and it's dead, he goes, give me a new cat. And then when they give him the new cat, he checks that it's a male, and then he goes, is this a tabby? And then goes back into his whole thing.
And then he mentions his son, Don, his name Don, which makes him Don.
Yeah.
So Dom DeLuise is Dom Don, and his son is Don. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I wrote here, because I didn't notice his name in the credits, was the next scene, I wrote, Charles Nelson Reilly with exclamation points. He's growing up watching the Match Game on Game Show Network. You just saw him, his delivery, those are obviously real glasses that he wears, but it's the same glasses.
He played himself almost. I mean, it was just, I thought he was great. I mean, you know, his interaction with Telly Savalas is amazing.
Oh, Terry.
And he crushes it. I mean,
Telly's great, man.
He plays such a good bad guy. Like, he really was.
So there's the first Bond connection because he was Blofeld in Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Yes, he was.
I was like, oh, there's a Bond thing going on here. And then when I see later on who else is in it, I was like, oh, yes.
I think Roger Moore was supposed to reprise his role, but I think there was an issue either with the car he was driving, because it was a Bond car from the first movie, or something, that he couldn't do it. He didn't want to do it, but then he regretted not doing it, kind of thing. So
there's a lot of regrets. So
same thing with, you know, well, I mean, when you see he was in it later.
Oh, yeah.
Regrets, I've had a few.
Yeah, yeah.
Too few to mention.
Yeah.
But no. Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, the Bond connection. George Lazenby, if you're listening, I still want to interview you, if you're listening. But no, so then we get the ladies. Ladies in this movie.
Well, you got them or Jackie Chan? Oh, you got the ladies first?
I think the ladies first, yeah.
Okay.
Why don't ladies wear jumpsuits more often? Those outfits, it's not practical. I guess it's like wearing a romper.
Well, some ladies should not wear them, you know, and some should. You know, some guys should not wear Speedos, and some, you know, are okay wearing Speedos.
And some ladies shouldn't drive, and then...
some or all are, you know.
Jeez.
Well, at least in this movie. And again, because the only car that breaks down multiple times are these ladies.
Are they breaking down, or is it no gas? Do they forget? Do they not know that part of it? Because they drive fast.
They're like, oh, that's what the E means on
Listen, one's blonde.
Oh.
So, and she's a driver, it seems. So, again, it's not a coincidence that they're the only ones that have the car. And multiple cars. So, it's not even the same car breaking down. So, it's like they could blame the car. Like, all right, you know, this car has issues. No, they borrow, like, at least three or four cars in this movie. And they all break down. Which, the main car that they last in is a tow truck. Which doesn't make sense.
A tow truck that, oh my God. When he talks about why does a tow truck have that engine in it? Why does it have to be that fast?
The cars that are in this movie are ridiculous. Like, they're not race cars.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too. They're always asking people, like, is it stock? Is it stock? And they're like, oh no, it's got a 250 Hemi in it. They're like, that's the one I want.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the beginning of the movie of the people, like the background people that have, you know, they're in the race. You see them souping up their cars, getting ready. You see it at the end of the movie. They all have race cars. How are they getting beat by tow trucks and Cadillacs?
Well, they couldn't fit them in the budget, so they had to cut them out of the movie. That's what was weird, because you saw all these other people. I'm like, oh, is that someone? Because we see them, like, working on their car. And, like, just the cannonball. Why is that the name of the race?
Well, have you ever thought of a cannonball besides a cannonball? Like, I don't know, like, right? I mean,
well, Frank Sinatra, we can talk about it now. He mentions when he hears the line cannonball, he's like, oh man, what are you, desperate? Right. Are you lonely?
Yeah.
So does cannonball mean like fat girl or ugly girl?
Why does it have to be a girl?
Oh, he'd be a fat guy.
Miley Cyrus.
I wasn't thinking that.
Oh no, Wrecking Ball. I'm thinking Wrecking Ball.
I thought you called Miley Cyrus a cannonball, and I almost kicked you out of the podcast.
Miley,
you
know? I am sorry. Wait, so you're saying
cannonball is, you think Frank Sinatra thinks cannonball is,
or it's another thing for Punching the Clown.
I would say more Punching the Clown.
Punching the Clown.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, listen, maybe a cannonball starts off slow, shoots out fast, lands hard. I don't know. Describe a race.
I had to divorce my husband. I walked in and he was cannonballing to porn on the computer.
The fact that it ends in Connecticut, though, is like, I thought that was the most random thing. I was like, oh, you could have done like New York
anywhere.
I don't know.
New Jersey.
Or New Jersey. I mean, yeah, I would have thought like Manhattan would have been a cool like ending scene.
It would have been cool.
Like Connecticut. Like, let's go.
You ever drive with traffic in Manhattan?
Oh, but that could have been funny. Yeah, they get out and they have to run. Giving away the new movie. All right.
No, the first movie that happens, they run to the finish line. If I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, I think the ladies win the first movie because Captain Chaos was in the lead, and there was I think someone's cat fell in the water. Like, and he jumps in the bridge, off the bridge, and the ladies pass him.
So he loses $1 million for a cat?
Captain Chaos is all about safety.
Was that the dead cat with Dom DeLuise?
Maybe.
They used the same one.
He brought him back.
So you think the Dom DeLuise part in The Godfather is another alter ego of Dom DeLuise?
Captain
DeLuise. You've never seen it together. You've never seen Captain Chaos and Dom DeLuise together as The Godfather.
I never saw them in the same room.
Nope. Just saying, it's a coincidence.
So then the next group we see is Jackie Chan and our Bond expert. Who do we see?
Richard Kiel, and he was Jaws in Moonraker and, The Spy Who Loved Me.
And the doctor, who's also in the first movie. Right? No, doctor's with the sheep.
The one with the eyebrows?
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God.
Dead
caterpillars on her head.
He's also in the first movie, by the way.
Is he really?
Yep.
The one who's trying to jab everyone with, like,
and
Benito?
His last name is Van Helsing.
In real life or in the movie?
No, in the movie. He's Dr. Van Helsing. Oh, yeah. He's in the first movie, and he's just as drunk and everything else. But, yes, we see Jackie Chan and Jaws.
Jaws. To see him was so cool.
So they have this super – the Japanese have this super, I guess, souped-up car. But that plane that takes it was a small, crappy – like, look like they rented the plane. Like, it was a horrible plane for them to be – taking this, like, you'd think they would also have the nice plane, like super plane. It was nothing.
The car was very James Bond, though. Like, it had a lot of gadgets. It had like radar. It had Pac-Man, which we'll see later on.
I'm trying to think. I don't remember the first. I mean, I know Jackie Chan was in the first one. I don't know if he had a souped up car, because I think Roger Moore had the souped up car.
Of course. Cause
so I think, right. So James I think Bond. They might have just switched it a little bit.
But yeah, to see Richard Kiel, he's fantastic in the movie. I love.
How did he fit in that car? Because that was a small car.
Yeah, that's really.
He was small enough, yet Jackie Chan had enough room to play video games.
I was going
to
say Jackie would cramp back
and
there.
And he was able to drive it. So, yeah, you know, maybe the inside was a lot bigger than it looked.
And it's funny, like, after interviewing Jack O'Halloran and covering, like, Superman 2 and watching a bunch of his filmography, you can see why they were, like, they competed for the same roles.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Like, they looked the same. It's pretty mind blowing.
He is a little, he's got to be bigger. He's got to be taller.
Who is?
Jaws?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. They're both pretty big dudes.
You think the camera kind of like makes it look like he's bigger than he is?
Like that's 4 inches?
Like Dutch angles or whatever? Is that what it's called?
Because even in Gilmore, he towers over everybody.
Oh, Happy
You know,
Gilmore.
So I don't know. Like, but he's also like, I think he's taller because even when he talks, he has that like big man syndrome vocals.
Yeah.
You know, where Patrick sounds the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And how about the fact that this car is able to float up in the air? Because when the cops are chasing him, they go, make this car disappear. Now, I'm assuming it wasn't that high. You don't think the cops turning the corner are going to be able to see a floating car?
See, when he said disappear, I was thinking like the world is not enough?
Invisible car?
James Bond, yeah, with the Aston Martin Vanquish. And I'm like, oh, we're going to see. So it just drops down from the sky. Like,
and no balloons or anything. I thought maybe it might have floated up. No, it's just floating up in the air.
Oh, and then there's another thing that the car does later we'll talk about like more in depth, but it doesn't make any sense.
Well, if it could go up in the air, can it drive up in the air?
It just fly. Doc Brown it all the way to Connecticut.
So then why would it use it all the way and miss all the traffic and turn, just go straight to the finish line?
There we go.
How do you win? You said the last movie they ran
to it. You have to punch in and punch out.
Right.
Like a time card.
There's a finish line at the end. So, yeah.
So
which we have questions on who won because we have to talk about it later on.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we get the Dunes Hotel. Sammy Davis Jr. is going in to see Dean Martin, which is so cool. Like seeing those two legends.
I think Dean Martin is playing himself in this movie.
Oh, he's hammered in this movie.
I mean, okay, he's got to be in his 60s. I would say.
Because
he looks old. The woman in that bed with him has to be in her 20s. Like she's young.
Okay. This whole scene could have been
his granddaughter.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll talk about this whole scene, but before. When Sammy finds another way to get to him, when he just knocks on the door, I thought it was pretty cool, like as an homage. Because again, most people should know their music, but I think that's a different era. So even somebody that's like, when you saw it, you might not, if you didn't have parents that listened to that music, it was cool hearing Dean sing his song and then Candyman.
Yeah.
That was cool, man.
The Candyman can.
Everybody loves somebody sometime.
So when you originally told me about the movie and I looked at the actors and I was like, I love Sammy Davis Jr. I love the Rat Pack. Shirley MacLaine is part of the Rat Pack too, which, I mean, we'll talk about her later on. Like, yeah, she's part of
that. So you watch their movies, like the Rat Pack?
Oh, yeah, like Ocean's 11 and all those.
She's in all those movies?
She's She was connected with the Rat Pack. She's also with like older Peter Lawford. I mean,
she looks great. Young.
She looks incredible. Yeah, but she's definitely got to be.
She looks great in the movie.
Yeah, she's older than Burt Reynolds in this movie.
How old's Mary Lou Henner in this movie?
She looks
younger. She looks like probably like.
I would say. Oh, you.
20s?
No way.
No.
No?
I was going to say maybe 40s. She's, mid 30s maybe?
Well, Taxi was just off the air for a few years.
Yeah, so she's got to be, I would say maybe mid to late 30s, early 40s.
She looks great. She looks fantastic. Yeah, they both look fantastic.
I would say Burt Reynolds probably in his 40s at this point. But McClane was probably in her 50s. Like, she's definitely older than him.
Yeah, so when you told me about, like, and I saw, like, Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra, and I was like, oh, man, I love these guys. I play their music at my house all the time. And then to hear Dino come out with Everybody
they
Loves
were great
Somebody
the
Sometime.
Movie. They were great in the first movie. They're almost the villains to the Burt Reynolds and
well, maybe Burt Reynolds is the villain. He's mean to his Dom DeLuise, so we're rooting for the bad guy. Because what are they doing that's bad? They owe money in this movie.
They owe money in this movie. I think they do a lot of sneaky things in their first movie also.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, to me, they were the funniest part. Like, I mean, I love Sam. Like I said, Sam and David Jr. to me is hysterical. They're such wise guys. And Dean Martin is drunk as the whole movie and playing himself. This is what he was in real life, you know? No, it's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, you see them, they're dressed as priests, and you're like...
Well, in the first movie... They were
priests in the first movie.
Oh, they brought it
that's
back.
What he says.
Right.
No,
right.
They were cops in this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh, nuns. This isn't going to work."
So that's how it was. So Burt Reynolds was an ambulance driver wearing those clothes, and they were priests. In the
okay.
First. That's why he goes to the women. He goes, "We tried this in the first movie, or the first really? Time, it didn't work."
Yeah. And I love that Sammy just to talk to Dean. He like goes around. He's outside the window, 18 stories up, and the girl is, I don't know.
Well. First of all, Dean Martin's first line, when he brings the two drinks over to the girl, he goes, I make a dry martini, I make a dry martini, and there's nothing in it.
Empty martini glasses.
He's not like, he's not wasting time. He's 60-something years old. He's got a 20-year-old hot girl in his bed. He's not wasting any time.
I mean, I wouldn't waste
any time. Was he married ever? Was he pulling ass at that age? I'm sure he's pulling married. Ass.
Dean Martin was known for a woman like he, I'm sure.
All those guys were married like 5 or 6 times. Sure. Like, that was just normal back in those days.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sammy outside holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
And he mentions $1 million. So then
first he smacks his hand.
One hand.
Right, so first of all, he tries to kill him. So basically he tries to murder him.
Right.
You know, because he smacks his hand and the girl is like keeps going, I don't know, what's it called? Dean or whatever. She goes, come on, I'm waiting.
Oh, Blake.
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 And she
Blake and Fenderbaum.
Right, Blake. Right. So he keeps turning his head, looking at her, looking at Sammy, and decides to, you know what? I'd rather go to the girl and kill my best friend.
Right, right, right.
Basically what it was.
Read this, will you? Just read that. Oh. That's from the Sheik. They're going to start the cannonball again, and the Sheik's putting up $1 million to the winner. And you know the winner will be $1 million.
Easy, take it easy now. No, no, don't come out. I'll come in.
Blake.
And then turns out he took the quote-unquote elevator, which is the...
That was pretty funny,
the
too.
Window washer.
Where'd you get a window washer thing? I thought it was the elevator.
The elevator. Oh, man. The ADR in this movie, too, is fantastic.
Oh, there's...
Some of them are just like, wait, they're not even opening their mouths.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But no, just that whole scene. Just, I love that. Hitting the both hands, him, like, fall. Yep. Like,
and making it sound like it's falling.
Yeah. You're the tallest short guy I've ever seen.
Their report together is incredible. It's like fantastic. I said, you got to see the first one. Like, it's like... First one is probably better than the second one. I just like the second one because of the Godfather bringing those people in there, but they're both great. So.
As soon as we get done from this podcast, it's $9.99 on Amazon. I will be buying this Blu-ray.
No, it's good.
So then the second problematic after the falafel, Jackie Chan orders a drink and the guy looks at him and says, hey, does anybody speak Oriental?
Oriental.
That was pretty unbelievable.
Not for this time,
But
what are the chances at this point everyone is at the same exact bar? It's not like that was a meeting place for the contest.
Don't forget, they already ran a race pretty much right before this one because the Sheik didn't win. So it probably is a meeting place. It's probably like it's not the first time they've raced before. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, they raced in the first movie and this movie takes place right after the first one. Like, there's no, like, time frame. I think.
Where is this? Any guess? Is California or
LA or Vegas?
Where it starts?
Well, it's not Connecticut.
Well, they stop in Vegas because Vegas is where Charles Nelson Riley is.
The dunes.
So Yeah, that I would say California. It's probably California. Yeah.
And then
they all know each other. I mean, the girls, Burt Reynolds flirts with the girls right away.
He wants them bad. He talks about wanting to fall in love with them.
Well, first he's talking to Dom DeLuise, like, you know, I want a girl for myself. And then Dom DeLuise is like, well, I want one too. He goes, you want one? Like, you know, you're surprised that Dom DeLuise wanted one too.
The girls are very attractive. I mean, not to go back to all the way to the beginning, but the cops in the beginning are like, oh man, there's two hot chicks in that car. Let's nail them.
They keep saying the same thing.
Two hot chicks.
Oh, and then they crash. Yeah. And then I love that the guy who's like the younger cop is writing an accident report within seconds.
But sorry, not to divert.
Listen, you want to bring up hot girls, you can bring it up.
Yeah, we can do that. But so then we find out Dean and Sammy owe Don Don $30,000, yeah, which isn't that much money.
Back then, though.
No, I know, but yeah, the race is for $1 million. So for them not to owe 30, they're going to give them 970.
Well, you know what? It isn't a lot because later on, we find out that they owe Telly Savalas $9 million.
Right.
Yes. So 30,000 really isn't much.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, Charles Nelson Reilly owes $9 million.
Right. They owe to Charles Nelson Reilly.
Right. And then Charles Nelson Reilly owes Terry Savalas.
Right. Hold it separate.
The money. Yeah.
That's
everyone's owing, owing something, somebody something in this movie.
Tony Danza.
Oh, man.
And the monkey. Who's the boss?
I love the monkey.
The monkey's the boss.
I love going ape. I've seen the movie so many times. I don't know what came out first, but that is without a doubt Poppy from Going Ape.
Going Ape is Clint Eastwood, right?
No. That's Every Which Way But Loose.
Every Which Way But Loose.
I think it might be the same orangutan.
It has to be.
This orangutan got a lot of business back then.
Well, he got his own credit as, what was it? What was the guy's name?
He's in SAG.
Basoli's orangutan?
Or she is in SAG.
I was going to say, they call him Clyde. They call him Clyde.
Oh, do they?
In Every Which Way But Loose is Clyde.
Well, girls can't drive, so it can't be a girl monkey.
He loves giving the finger, though, this monkey.
Yeah, but girl monkeys can. And excuse me, you're offending him because it's an orangutan.
So girl monkeys can drive, but human women.
But yeah, but I think this is the same orangutan they've used in multiple movies.
Lots of anger from this orangutan.
Yeah, he's smacking people.
Because the one part, I don't know if that other guy, was the other guy with Tony Danza an actor, or was that the animal trainer?
His cousin from North Carolina?
No, I think he is an actor. I don't know. I think
he got smacked hard. Okay,
so before we even get to that point, so the uncle pulls up, and he goes, yeah, my uncle. So they're brothers, I guess, right? Or they're related.
Oh, you know who the uncle is?
No. Who was he? He looks
familiar. Oh, you ready for this? Goober Pyle.
That was?
Gomer Pyle?
No, Goober.
What's Goober Pyle?
He was his cousin.
Well, Gomer's in this.
I know. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's what makes it even funnier.
Oh, you know what? You're right. It is Goober.
And he looks the same. Yeah. I looked at him, I'm like, wow. Goober worked at the gas station in town. Yeah.
But I love Danza's line, though. When he sees the monkey, he goes, must be your side of the family.
Yeah. Wait, okay, so you have an uncle here who doesn't know these two kids. The guys at all. Because he says, like, you know, he goes, he had to explain, I'm your nephew from whatever. And so he's ready to, they're asking him for a car and the uncle doesn't even know them.
Right.
And they don't even know the uncle really.
I love Tony Danza. I think his roles in show, he plays the same guy in everything, right?
How can you not?
But
I'm your cousin from Brooklyn.
Listen, he could play Joey in Friends. You know, it's Joey. He could play Joey's father.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't they ever do that? Did Joey have a dad in that show?
He did. He had, what's his name? I think it's the guy from...
Welcome to Friends Talk.
Character actor.
Welcome to Friends.
You see, he was on Saved by the Bell. He was Leah Remini's father in Saved by the... No, was that... No, that was the... Never mind.
That was the guy from Fright Night Part 2.
Yeah, never mind. No, you've seen this guy before. So, anyway. But yeah, so, that monk, I love the monkey. I think he's hysterical, so.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but he's just so violent.
Yeah.
He really smacks that guy so hard, and I know, obviously, it's a different shot, but you almost think that there's camera setup, because when he goes back to sit back with Tony in the back where the driving's happening, he's like, man, that monkey just, I'm like, holy shit, dude. The monkey has the worst teeth ever.
The worst. Well, do you think monkeys brush their teeth?
They need to. They need to start.
But yeah, you know what? I wonder, is that monkey in SAG? Because it doesn't really talk.
I would think so.
Okay, so.
Animals have to have a SAG. Him and
the trainer have the SAG or the monkey?
Well, the monkey should have it. Because that monkey, the monkey from Ace Ventura, there's like these.
Monkey trouble.
Certain monkeys that are in a multiple.
Congo.
Movies. Yeah. No, but the monkey from Ace Ventura is in Contagion and they're like all the friends. Oh. Like, they're Outbreak. All the same monkeys. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they might not be the same monkey. They could be in a family. I mean, I don't know how many orangutans look like this one, though. This one looks like, he looks like an old man orangutan.
I thought it was actually a person in a monkey costume at first, like a short person.
That's how good of an actor that orangutan is.
He was good. He was great. He was, you know, between him and Jackie Chan, I mean, the fight scenes were.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I remember as a kid, though. I always look forward to the fight scene because they did the fight scene in the first movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So now we get Mary Lou Henner and Shirley MacLaine.
Bless my heart.
Which one do you like better?
I like the looks of Mary Lou, but the personality of Shirley. Ooh. Shirley's got that personality where you could just be like, I could just have a beer with
her. Your girlfriend listens to this. She's going to be like, I got to be more Shirley.
Is your girlfriend like 60?
No. She's
half that.
She's
okay.
But no, they're sitting there as these nuns.
So they're not. Well, because they were like a Broadway show.
They're actors.
So they're actors acting.
You know what?
You thought the whole time.
No, it's not that I thought they were nuns. When they said they were in the show, I never seen that show. So I didn't put two. I thought they were just watching a show.
So you thought when they
the whole movie, I thought they were real nuns.
So when they came out in the shortest of shorts, and I think Shirley MacLaine wore her underwear when she came out.
That's when I was on to them.
Okay. Oh, that's when you went on to
no,
and I even thought that because how about creep? Well,
wait. So the whole conversation when they were at the diner when they're talking to each other, how they want to go to New York or something like that, like you
just,
didn't realize
just to find a millionaire.
I just thought there were nuns that were like, I'm fed off with the nunnery. I just want to get out of here. I just want to go to the Big Apple.
So when they walked down those clothes, that was your M. Night Shyamalan moment.
So when Mary Lou Henner is basically giving Dom a HJ.
She's probably never felt one.
Holy cow.
I was, I'm like, well, it's feel the warmth
well,
up
Burt
here.
Reynolds didn't care.
No, he was.
I mean, if none or not, that's Burt Reynolds style.
Burt Reynolds in that scene, we'll talk about it now. When they come out in the office, he's like checking them out. He uses his cane to lift.
He knew. At that moment, he knew they weren't nuns.
Right.
But did he know before that?
I think he was skeptical.
I don't think it mattered.
But I don't think
because I wasn't.
No, but Burt Reynolds seems the type in his role as JJ. It really doesn't matter what it could be a dead corpse. I think he would. You know, it wouldn't make a difference.
Oh Jesus!
But as soon as they hear them talking about millions, they're like, yeah. And then that's
well,
when
no,
they go
no,
talk
no,
to them.
Because they mentioned there during the conversation, like, I wish I could just find a guy.
This way.
So. What made you think they were nuns?
Nuns can get fed up. It's like anybody working at a job. Some guy working at McDonald's can be like, I'm fed up at this place. I'm going to go to Burger King. They can do that. And nun can be like, you know what? I don't want this life anymore. I want to have a rich guy. Yikes. I want to wear nice clothes and not a sheet every day.
All right.
Yeah, with the flappy things on the head, I don't even know what they...
Is that even a nun outfit or is that just from the Flying Nun the with...
No, I
Southfield.
Maybe back then, I guess.
Because there's wings.
A habit. It's called a habit.
A habit?
I think it's called a habit. And I think, I think it's a real thing.
Oh,
for back in the day, though. I mean, they don't. First of all, when was the last time you saw a nun?
Sister Act.
No, I mean in real life. I mean,
it's right there on VHS.
Really? Yeah. Oh, nice.
And I have the sequel over on the wall.
The sequel's good, too.
Not as good as the first one.
No,
Lauren
no.
Hill. Lauren Hill's in the second
one. Oh, is she really?
Not as good as the first. Oh, yeah. She's one of the kids.
Miseducation.
But I think. I don't see, I mean, I saw nuns a lot growing up. It's walking around always like by the churches. You don't see nuns anymore.
Oh, wait. I just.
You think they're distinct?
Until you got to the word church, I thought you were talking about clowns like a few years ago walking around in woods. Just nuns are just walking around like zombies.
Oh, my gosh.
What is wrong with you?
That could have been a good horror movie.
You just said you just saw nuns
walking around. I didn't say the woods.
No. But then I was waiting for what word you're going to use. The mall? The school.
No, usually nuns and church go hand in hand. Woods would make it a little weirder.
That would be scary. You see a nun just walking out of the woods. Or a nun at the bar.
I'm sure there's a lot of horror movies that have nuns come out of the woods.
So then we get to, they find out about the race. And then we talked about it before, how many cannonballers there are.
Well, did we get past the part where they confronted Sammy Davis Jr.?
Well, it's right here.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
we're
okay,
here.
Okay.
Go on.
Oh, no, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, so that's what it is.
So there's if you look at the lineup of cars at the end of the movie and in the beginning, there's tons. There's only like five important ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rest. But like I said, all the cars are race cars except for the five, which makes no sense. So now, okay, so think about it. Now we have a limo, a Cadillac, a tow truck. I don't understand.
Yeah. No, you're right. No, it doesn't make any sense that they have those cars. It's almost like watching this movie, like we talked about, I would love a new one with people that are big now and people of yesteryear. But like Wacky Races, it reminds me of that because these cars should not make it that far.
No, no.
But was it so the whole time I was watching this, I was like, was it just me or does this scream Rat Race to you guys?
Rat
Race is based on a Mad Men.
Oh,
world.
Is that what that's
yeah, exactly?
I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, this is basically. I mean, they did do a new version of this and it's called Rat Race.
Yeah, it's Rat Race is not nothing to do with Cannibal Run. It's more Mad World was like the first movie
the
that
original.
Had all these old school actors that are all in there, going after $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Where this is supposed to be a car race, you know, or, you know, because no one else is using anything except for the bad guys.
Right. Oh, so you can use any means in Mad Men World. Like you can use helicopters and
same
planes
thing,
and stuff.
Same thing. Okay. Right.
We watched that in Mr. Kafka's class 2 years in a row.
Oh, yeah.
The Big W. No, Mad Men.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Old science teacher.
It was like 3 hours long.
That's a long movie. Yeah. Yeah.
So JJ, it's funny. The reason he doesn't want the nuns in the car is not to put them in harm's way or anything, just in case a hottie hitchhiker wants to get picked up and have sex.
But Dom DeLuise squashed that because he said God will be our co-pilot.
He does mention that a lot, yeah.
So, yeah. But, yes. So, JJ's always thinking.
He is.
And he's got one thing on the mind.
Always. Always.
And we mentioned already the whole interaction when Dean and Sammy see them too.
I laugh, though, because Sammy Davis Jr. said the same joke twice, once at the end of the movie, once now. They asked him, he goes, money or I'll blow you away? He goes, I'll take the money. I'll take the money.
Yeah.
And they go, and then they explain what the race was. They're like, what idiot would do something? Put the money up for this. And sure enough, the sheik walks in.
The sheik walks in.
The falafel. Yeah.
And they point guns at him. And then he makes the slave, his white slave.
Oh, later. Said, later.
No, this one, I thought.
I don't know if it's just, no, is it later when the mafia takes him over? When Abe Fagoda and then.
Oh, he puts the gun
in. Okay. Oh, yeah, dude. No, that's a good scene.
Okay.
No, so then we have. Yeah, so Dean, how weird was that? This is what was weird for me, because again, you guys watched it through the paying attention lens and I didn't. But I thought they were nuns. So when Dean looks at her and says, we're cops and strip search both of you, and they walk past and she smells Dean Martin. Yep.
And whispers it in his ear.
Oh, I don't know. We don't know what she said.
No, we don't know what she said.
And then
he
whispers it to Sammy.
Yeah, well, so understand. And he goes, you're sick. Understand something. They wore the costume of priests in the first one.
Yes.
And they used that to an advantage. So he said, when he saw the nuns with JJ, he's like, we tried that one last time. Yeah. It didn't work. That's why he says, let me frisk you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he would frisk. Like, I think Dean has a little bit more class than JJ.
Does he?
You know, well, I would think. I mean, they're both very similar. They both want to get laid.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my gosh. And then this is like, Dom is already Captain Chaos. He's ready to drive. And we see the monkey with Tony Danza. And then when they're doing the punch card thing, everybody does. Well, how do you choose who goes first? Because whoever goes first has an advantage. Mm. But how about Jackie Chan the way he did this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when he's on the hood of the car and he rolls
rolling
off?
Down the hood, punches it, and then dives in the window, and then they just take off.
That was just a taste of what to come in Jackie Chan's career.
But he was, again, I remember loving him in the first movie because it was all action. Like, he was the fight. Like, they had the fight in the first movie also, which I think is definitely less cheesy. I mean, this one, some of the fights, are, like, things happen are ridiculous. But Jackie Chan was awesome. In fact, I think the part in the first one where he does, like, a jumping split kick, and then he rips his pants.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
And then the car has fire boosters and they're like flying all around. But my favorite thing of this movie that I want to talk to you about, because it had to be involved in another movie we did. Did you ever think in your life you'd see a cartoon character come to life? Because the lady that is driving.
Oh,
she looks like Granny.
Yeah.
Oh, from the old Warner Brothers cartoons.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Yes. And she waves to the monkey. The monkey flips her off. She crashes through a window. A guy's nice enough to help her. Are you okay? She flips him off.
But you see that in so many movies, like the old lady flipping off someone, like and it's always funny every time.
Oh yeah,
but she was the old. She was the lady from Tweety Bird.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it was so uncanny. It was like they went for that. Yeah. They're like, here's what you should wear. So then the next part is where, again, if somebody looked at my notes, they'd be like, dude, you didn't watch this movie, but. I wrote, these nuns are horny, because this is when she's like rubbing Dom DeLuise.
Yeah.
But the thing that was weird was
boy nun.
If you're not a nun, it's not like you have to be extremely horny, But it was just so weird that in the back, Shirley had more of like a conscience at this point, because she was almost like not getting with Bert yet, or I don't know.
Mary Lou had one thing on the mind.
That's all she was thinking about. That's why I was like, man, she probably was like, I
mean, she loved Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, she loved.
She definitely likes the fatty type.
I mean, yeah, she likes the cushion.
Oh, 100%.
Cushion for the
smushing.
Dom DeLuise, I'm assuming, is younger than Bert, so she went for the younger guy because she
is
younger.
Is he younger?
He's not. He looks younger. No,
I don't know. Bert's got that youthful energy that just comes off. Dom looks like he doesn't take care of himself at all. Dom
turns into Captain Chaos and does a lot of energetic stuff.
He does.
I'd be curious about that. They're probably the same age.
Well, we can look it up. And the cops in this movie are so terrible. The cops,
they're so dumb.
They're so dumb. Like the one earlier that crashes because the girls are.
Oh, the one that they think they're going to catch these girls that are going like 200 miles an hour. Like, I mean, like, first of all, that scene, and we really went over it fast, but like, the driving was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
How fast they were going was ridiculous.
And they changed the sign to 155.
Yes.
Or they changed the color of the car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
And the way they spun out. Yeah. So smooth. Yeah. Like,
looking for a white Lamborghini. Cool. And
I wrote that one of the guys, and I'm trying to piece together where it was, but one of the guys in that scene were so burnt. He was wearing like shorts. He was like red. They were probably shooting that scene for hours. And he was like, I forgot my sunscreen. And they're like, sit there, you extra. Here's your $50. But no, that scene was pretty cool. And even the cop, he goes, hey, listen to this one. So if you take this angle, you can add 11 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So now we're at meeting Dom, right?
Dom? The helicopter?
No, his son.
Charles Nelson Reilly?
Yeah, aren't we meeting? Isn't that?
I thought we did.
Who is Charles Nelson Reilly's son? That's with Abe Figueroa?
No, he doesn't have a son. I'm saying, no, we haven't. We never met. Because Telly Savalas walks in.
Right.
We didn't meet them.
Oh, no.
Calls him
no,
Dum
no.
Dum.
Right, Dum Dum. Yeah. He goes, and then he goes, Charles Nelson Reilly goes, is this business or pleasure? And he takes the chair and smashes it. Like those three goons, like just the three of them together, all bald, and then the big guy in the back.
He does that later with the guy too. He hits the guy with the chair for like reason.
No reason.
Yeah.
Well, it shows you how mean he is.
No, but this is the first time we see the Italian mafia gang use a mode of transportation when they somehow are able to rent a helicopter.
Okay, helicopter?
Tell me that these guys don't rent from Acme.
Oh yeah,
totally.
They're wild.
Everything backfires, and it looks like it literally looks like stuff that the coyote would use on Roadrunner.
Yeah. The helicopter
every
with the magnet,
the wire, everything.
Yep.
I love the magnet. That the fact that he's like, hey, this magnet can lift a Brinks truck, and they're like, oh, Brinks truck. And then I love Abe Figueroa says when he gets stuck and they're not able to lift, he goes, well, maybe it can only lift a Brinks truck. And they're like, it's okay, we'll figure it out. Tunnel.
So why can't it lift the car? Because he's got the stethoscope. The doctor has the stethoscope.
Oh my gosh.
Is that why? Is that why the helicopter can't lift the car?
The helicopter wasn't that big. So to lift a heavy car with three people in it?
And then it goes into the tunnel.
Yes.
Wait, I thought they were going to hit the top of the tunnel. We were going to just get like a sound effect or something.
Right,
no, it actually goes in the tunnel and then somehow crashes.
Yeah.
And then you see wheels like rolling out and, you know. I love Abe Pagoda in this movie. He's such a he's an idiot, but he's like a baby, like, you know, to Mo Green.
Right. If I knew it was going to be a test, I would have studied. I love, Pagoda's the best.
And then we get the monkey I was talking about earlier, how like ridiculous this monkey is, like how he's just abusing people.
Yeah.
And then boom, that's what I love about these movies. They go so fast, not in like the running time, but while you're watching, you're like watching like five or six different movies. So it goes fast. Is then right from there, we hard cut to Shirley MacLaine and Mary Lou wanting to be in the back seat by themselves.
And changing.
Well,
that's Burt Reynolds still thought she was a nun because they kept calling him Sister Betty and Sister whatever.
Yeah,
and
right.
He goes, the things I want to do with, you know, yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then that's when Dom DeLuise like looking off and talking to God on his own.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry about him. And then they get pulled over. And then this is
Gomer Pyle.
You see, Junior's dog had the mange.
Yeah.
Well, that mange cured up overnight. Darndest thing I ever saw.
Dude, the fact that they get pulled over by this guy, I'm sure he was an actor from back then.
He looks familiar. Yeah.
But
also,
he was funny with them.
Yeah.
And then the fact that the truck is coming to drop him off there.
And he just meets his uncle in the middle of nowhere.
I'm sorry, you guys keep calling him Gomer Pyle. I think that's a lawsuit pending because his name's Homer Lyle. They call him Homer Lyle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It sounds so close that it took me like two times hearing it.
I love the line, though, that he says. He goes, "We're transporting nuclear material to Connecticut." And he goes, "Why Connecticut?" And Burt Reynolds goes, "Because they ran out."
Yes. And again, this is in the middle of nowhere. This is about the fourth car we've seen where there's basically only that car and cops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no one else on the road.
No one.
There's no one.
They're in.
And you think about, okay, so if this is a race and they're getting pulled over, when you see cars like fly by yeah. that are part of the race, no, there's no one.
No, no one at all. Everybody's taking different roads.
Everybody's taking different routes to get there.
But yeah, so we get, and then JJ really plays it up that he's a general, like the guy finally believes him. He has Homer is going to drive the car. So then I guess they can get frisky in the back seat. I think that was the whole point of that.
I didn't understand why they needed him. Like, what was the point?
It was really Mary Lou suggested it, and she was in the front seat. So what was she going to do?
But they squeezed three people in the front seat then.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, so what was the point of that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just to get Homer or Lyle.
I just think Burt Reynolds didn't want to drive. So Dom DeLuise drives and Homer.
We passed the one line that Sammy Davis says to Burt and Dom, right? When he goes, "Oh, you must be General Patton." And then he looks at Dom DeLuise, he goes, "You must be General Admission."
But Dom DeLuise also goes to Sammy Davis Jr. and goes, "I've had it up to here."
Right. There's a lot of height jokes in this movie.
Yeah.
In the first one, too.
They go into it?
Yeah.
All right.
General Admission. You know what? I wrote that down, too. General
Admission. Yeah. So JJ, as a general, he has this cop convinced because his nephew, the cop's nephew, I think, was...
It was his nephew.
Homer Pyle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he goes to him. He goes, "Hey, and I want to let you in a little secret. There's these two communists following us, dressed like cops, and they're trying to take us out." And I love that within seconds, the guy's on the radio and he's like, "There's two communists that are following a red, whatever car it was." It was like, "Kill on sight." I'm like, wow.
And again, once again, the only car in the road.
Yeah,
right.
And cops.
Yeah. And Sammy goes, "I've been called a lot of things in my life, but never a communist." And then Dino goes, "I'm not even a Democrat."
Yes. Yes.
But he was a Democrat.
Yes. I wrote that then.
And then again, the way this movie like moves so quick, now cut back to the monkey fighting Tony Danza in the back seat.
Smacking him with the bananas.
And this is the part that just the monkey's driving because Tony goes in to the front.
Could we talk about Tony just chugging a Miller Lite while he's while he's driving the car? And I'm just like, he's drinking and driving. Literally.
What was the point of the guy in the front?
No point.
There was absolutely no point.
The uncle said in the beginning, he said it's a gimmick. He drives it from the...
No, I get that, because the monkey would be in the front.
Right.
But there was a point when the monkey was in the back seat with Tony while the guy was in the front wearing a stupid hat.
Right.
Yeah. So how is that a gimmick?
Yeah.
So why did it make sense why he was there?
And then Tony left him by himself, and the guy's like, "Wait, so the monkey's driving
Who's
this truck?"
Who's driving? And then they crash through, and the old lady gets stuck in the middle, and she goes, "You boys staying for dinner?
Yes.
I made noodle soup."
I like that.
But see, the monkey can drive.
right through a little trailer house.
Right.
God. And then the girls again, because their car broke down, they go to a guy that I think, because he's at the end of the movie, that they know. And this is when they mention threesome to him.
Yep.
Like, Don't worry, we'll bring the car back.
He's just licking his lips the whole time. He's like, yeah.
And they even say, "Does that have a full tank of gas?" Maybe they don't know how to pump their own gas, because they ask for that and then that car breaks down.
So you think they just drive the car as far as it can go without gas? It's done. They get out and get a new car?
They throw it out like a new pair of socks.
Yeah, they just don't know.
Well, they did win the last race. I don't know how much money that was. So, you know, maybe they just have the money to burn.
I hope they have that money.
I don't know. They just go through so many cars in this movie just by offering offering the promise of themselves.
And I like it. If they see a promise of a good car, they unzip the front of the shirt. And if it's like the nut, they lift it right back up.
Oh, I know.
The mechanic where he's like, "I got a tool that can fix anything."
Yeah.
It looks good from here.
And then once he mentioned what's under the hood,
then they got warm all of a sudden.
Right. Oh, man.
And then we get... bikers usually fight at bars, right? Why are they fighting in a fruit stand?
And were they really bikers?
And the thing that the one biker says to Jackie kind of blew my mind.
Ching Chong Man?
Yeah. And he was of Asian. I don't know. He looked of Asian too.
He looked of Asian.
I don't know.
I think that's more problematic than Ching Chong Man.
Well, I mean, yeah, he calls Jackie Ching Chong Man. And I'm like, oh,
and
no.
And then Jackie makes short work of all of them. Yeah, and then the girl that the family that runs the stand is Asian. Right.
But speaks perfect English.
Right. Yeah. Want to stay for dinner?
Yeah. And he wants to.
But Jaws
Jaws was like, none of this. We got $1 million.
So I wonder if, like, at this point, Jackie Chan didn't speak any English. Because he didn't speak in the first movie and doesn't speak in this movie either.
What was his name? High Tech? Was that his name?
They called him that, yeah.
He goes, now that's what I call High Tech.
I didn't even know he had a name.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he called him High Tech or something. Yeah, you're right.
Interesting.
So we already mentioned about the outfit change at, like, the gas station.
Okay, so was Shirley MacLaine wearing just her underwear? She walked out with no pants on.
I wasn't complaining.
I mean, you know. And Marilyn Renner came out. I mean, I like her.
I always like her.
From Taxi. Marilyn Renner, yeah, Taxi was great.
What else is she in? I don't understand why. There's some people that just, like, fizzle out, but why was she not in it?
She's a TV person, maybe? You know, just a lot of these people.
She even looked smoking hot years later in The Man on the Moon when they did that flashback scene.
She looked exactly the same.
Everyone else looked...
Yeah, but that was very
Christopher
cool.
Lloyd looked pretty good in that.
You know what? That was a great scene in that movie. Yeah. I've been reaching out to her about trying to get her.
Well, maybe if she listens to this, Mary Lou, we love you in this movie.
I'll be tagging her.
So how about, that sounds like something that Dean Martin would say to the girls or Burt Reynolds. I'll be tagging her. So how about the true, like, this movie probably had a pretty serious budget because of who's in it, but True Value paid a lot of money to be in this movie because that Arizona sign that they're hiding behind, Abe Fagoda and Mo Green, that was unbelievable. It said True Value a little, and then it said True Value welcomes you to Arizona.
Is this the flashing scene? The flashing scene? Or no, is this something else?
No, this is when they used the metal wire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is the metal wire that didn't work because it just took the sign down and then broke their car.
But you heard that, like, that boing sound?
They are... Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Absolutely.
I thought of it. Even the plane, the helicopter, when they were flying it, that looked like a cheesy helicopter you put together and then flew it.
Or like Natasha and Boris from Rocky and Bullwinkle. Right. Like, just looking to sabotage.
Yep.
And then right after this, hot chicks, their car's broken. Joe Theismann picks them up. We talked about that whole scene.
Of the Washington football team.
South River Zone.
Yeah.
Theismann for Heisman. Fun fact, his last name's Theismann. He changed the way they say his name just to rhyme for Heisman.
Oh, man.
That sounds about right. He was good in the movie, though, for, like, not being an actor. For his little part.
I liked him.
He was all right.
Yeah, he was good.
I want to see the first one in
how
Terry
does. He was a Southern boy. He acted like
one.
A Southern
Listen,
boy.
You know, it's easy to, in a movie like this, I don't think you really have to be a great actor.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
As we see with, was it Don Knotts and Tim Conway later?
I love them. Those two together.
That's like legendary to see both of them together.
They're great golf. Together.
Dwarf on golf.
Oh. But before we get to that one.
Sorry. I jumped.
No, you're fine.
It's all right.
So we have Jackie Chan and Jaws. They use the turbo one more time.
Yep.
So this scene, to me, makes no sense. So they're getting chased by cops. They go into a lake. Mm-hmm. Goes to the bottom. And you're thinking something bad happened. Then they show them, they're fine laughing. Jaws, he has such a cackling laugh in this movie.
Well, they make the clothes, like, it looks like they're drowned because they were chased by cops.
Right.
They look like their car went over and drowned, and they have a button to push it out close.
Trash. Yeah, there's beer cans, and they're oh, he was drinking. Yeah.
Right. And then oil.
Oil slick.
So in case you're in trouble, these buttons are very important to use. Like, it's set up already. That's why it's a James Bond car.
Right.
That's why I think it's taking place with the James Bond car from the first movie.
The same thing happened in Spy Who Loved Me. The car goes underwater and then it busts out fins on the side.
Right.
That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, well, this one had the windows go up. Like, it looked something like it was metal windows.
Right.
And you couldn't see. And then, it just submarine.
And the periscope.
Yeah.
But what does it make sense? Does oil signify that maybe the car died? But does that mean the people are dead?
I don't know,
because as soon as they saw the oil, they're like, sorry, people, we're just doing our job.
Right.
And, you know, not for nothing, the car just went in the water. They didn't even try to save it.
No.
What would you do? Oh, I guess you
dive in there and try to get him out, maybe? So basically, to Doug, If you see a car go off, you're like, just, I don't know what to do. Just forget it. I guess
lost cause.
I might get my sneakers wet.
Wait, is that oil? It's, oil, they're dead.
They're done.
Oil,
I mean, even if at least 10 minutes, you could still maybe save someone. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, at least try. Doug's not getting his sneakers.
Nope.
Wet.
No. They're okay. Good sneakers. I just buy one pair a year, and I'm not ruining them for these like criminals that are doing this race across the country that people
the
are done.
I know that.
See, if there were two hot chicks, I'm sure the cops would have...
Well, if the hot chicks, I could throw my shoes off and I can do something.
But they were like, you can't throw your shoes off for the...
Not for Jaws
and Jackie.
Because then I'm obligated to do mouth-to-mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't
Jaws. Drop on Jaws. Now, speaking of Jaws...
Jaws, you're not going to make it.
What a perfect transfer right here. Jaws, the next scene, like right in the same scene, Jaws music.
Yep.
And
yep.
I love that you get Sid Caesar, which the other guy, the third guy that was like in charge of the boat, he was a nobody.
There's
but the other guy
yeah.
was somebody.
I know. Like old timer. And it's, yeah. I wish Sid Caesar had a bigger role. I mean, it was like, you know.
It was such a small.
Yeah, but it was pretty funny.
He might have been older at the, I know he was in Vegas vacation and he was still in stop. But I love the fact that the guy, he goes, how big was it? And the guy goes, I took a picture of it. Picture weighed 14 pounds. Yeah.
So that was all improv.
But I love when they get pulled. So it hooks the front of the hood of the car. Then at that point. That's when...
No, hooks the boat or the fishing line?
The fishing line hooks the front
hook
of the car.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Hooks the hood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that's when he turns it to... Because all those different modes. It was like full steam ahead. Yep. One was
The thing came up like from Titanic where it's like cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah.
There's a lot inside a small car. That is like one of the smallest cars in the race.
Yeah, it was a Mitsubishi.
And there's a lot going on in there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in there. And then Mary Lou now is like, you know what? We want to bone you guys. Let's get Homer Pyle out of here. Homer Lyle. And Homer gets kicked out, but he does get the Congressional Medal.
But they leave him in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere. So they basically killed him.
But he was happy about it because he goes, I served my 20 years and I knew one day I would have a job in the military that would be so important.
Well, that was payback for
that was
for Dom
DeLuise. That was a good Homer.
That was a good, really good.
Wait, was Homer just on the podcast?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was me.
People sure are odd.
All right.
Was that as good as Rocky?
No, Rocky was up there.
Ew.
But no, that's the medal that Dom DeLuise took from Burt Reynolds because he said you can have any medal.
Yeah.
And he had all these small medals and he goes, all right, I'll take that one.
Take the
and
one
like
around
the
your
face
neck.
That Burt Reynolds made.
Was
so
like,
I think it was just a little payback.
Yeah, like, damn, I like that medal.
And here's another line that makes it seem like I didn't notice that they were actresses. It says, Mary Lou has too much style for a nun. Oh. What's their deal?
Well, she made a comment on nice pink, was it purple? Purple bag she had. Right, wasn't it?
Like, oh, yeah.
And she goes,
the
purse. Oh, for Lent.
Yeah, yeah, for Lent. Yeah.
What does
that
mean?
A Lent mask.
But is purple Lent? I mean, I grew up Catholic. I don't know anything about Lent.
I was fooled by that. I was like, she knows. She's a nun.
Yeah. She's got style. Well,
that's it. She's an actress.
And then now Abe and Mo Green, they rent a plane.
Somehow survived the helicopter tunnel crash.
Okay.
No scratches.
No scratches.
First of all, how are they catching up every single time? And without tracking, how are they knowing exactly where they are? And he's flying two planes. I don't think it's that easy to fly a plane the first time. You know,
helicopter, plane, there's different buttons, right?
Easily.
Nick mentioned it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. But Acme has it all. So you can, you know.
But they do make fun of that in the scene. He goes, how are we going to land it? He goes, come on, just hit this button here. Read the instructions. And then it works. And he goes, it's that easy.
Well, this one is like flying in the mountains.
Yeah, and they're bouncing a ton.
Okay, but the fact that like it looked like they were in the middle of mountains when they first started flying, and then he controlled it.
Yeah.
There's a clear shot, though, where you can see that it's not either one of them in the cockpit, where you're like, there's the stunt driver.
There's so many stunt drivers you see in this movie. Like, you know, once the cars go by, it's ridiculous.
Well, there was a dummy when they ran in and the old lady. The old lady was definitely not in the car from the thing. It was a dummy that got picked up. So now their plan is to hitchhike. And at first I thought it was them because Mo Green had his girlfriend in the back of the plane. But she flashes. We didn't see that.
You do.
I wish we saw it.
No,
we don't see it.
You do. She has pasties on.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, they're cones. Yeah.
No, they're red pasties.
Stars. They're like stars or something, right? Or something.
Something.
They're little cones.
But you get a good glimpse and I'm like, this is a PG movie? And they say some like shit. They say words.
This is tame for PG.
Yeah, PG in the 80s.
Back then, forget about it. The Clash boobs. Of the Titans had boobs.
That is true. That first scene, first right, scene, with the baby? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they should have thought of this right away. Boobs always win.
Yeah. And then they stopped him. And then this is the scene you're talking about when he goes, when they put the gun to his head, he goes,
I am the great Prince Abdel Ben Falaf, master of all deserts, prince of princes, and one of the world's biggest
yo-yos.
How dare you put a gun to my head?
As I was saying, do you come here often?
I think he was one of the producers or something.
Who, the slave?
Yeah.
I don't recognize him, but I'm sure. He had it because he had a big
the
role.
Slapper?
He had to be something.
A thousand thanks.
Yeah.
A thousand.
2,000 thanks.
Yeah.
So now we get the, this is where I wrote, wait, so they're not nuns? So then this is when I finally realized it. But Don Knotts and Tim Conway pulling over the car, just them together is funny. But what made it even funnier was they're like, oh man, we're on candy camera. Yeah,
you know who's behind that glass?
And the monkey kicks the crap out of
That's what I mean. Like, this monkey is violent.
And they're dancing and keep getting smacked and they get right back up and it's his hat. Was it his head through his hat at one point?
Yeah. Tim Conway's
Does that
head.
Happen? Like, you see it in movies all the time, but like.
Those are cheap hats.
Had to be very cheap hats.
But I love it. After they get knocked down, they go.
This is working great. Let's go sing. Come on. Before they go. Come on.
By the light of the silvery moon.
Then the monkey flips them off.
They're great. If you like them, there's a movie. I think I told you a long time ago. I think they played two detectives. It's like a it's like a murder mystery.
Oh, with both of them?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, what it's called. It's hysterical. I remember watching it as a kid.
I never knew they worked together because that's why when I saw them, I'm like,
yes, no,
it's
no.
Like iconic.
I'll send you the trailer if I remember it.
Yeah, their scene was way too short, but I mean I feel like that was a lot of this movie. It was just like different little like vignettes.
Well, it's showing them. You different cameos here and there, you know.
So then right from here, all these people aren't connected. There's no cell phones. How do they all know instantaneously that the Sheik was robbed? Because JJ is driving. Everybody's waiting in the middle of this highway.
Yep.
Waiting for them. How do they know?
They're good.
They're that good?
They're that good.
It seemed like Sammy Davis and Dean Martin are the ones that told them. They probably just didn't have to cut.
But how about the fact that, again, we're seeing these cars race this whole time. You don't see any cars nearby. How are they all caught up together? I mean, how long were they waiting? Like, come on.
That is true.
How much more long are we going to wait until we, you know, and how do they know that they're not ahead of them?
That is true. How do they not know that?
They could be waiting for like 2 days. Like, listen, we're waiting for JJ. I don't know where, you know.
Yeah, you would think like they don't have trackers on their cars that you could see like.
1980.
That is true.
And JJ was in first, I would think, because they never stopped.
They stopped. The nuns changed.
For the nuns,
it changed. But a little bit.
Okay, but women take a long time to change.
Oh.
They put on their makeup there. Don't forget, they wanted to impress them. So they were stopped for a while.
Wow. No women driving.
I didn't say no women. Women orangutans.
So then they find out the whole plot, and then they're trying to figure out, like, JJ goes, who else knew about this? And they look at Dean and Sammy, and they find out, they must have told the guys in Vegas because that's who did it. And then the rest of the movie from here is just so cool. The fact that they go to – you like, guess because I saw him in the trip.
They go to the king.
And they're like, we're going to see royalty. And you see the look, and you're like, this isn't the White House, but it's sort of like the White House. Is this the president? No, it's Frank Sinatra.
Playing himself.
Frank, as himself.
And I love the line he goes to Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds goes, what can I call you? He goes, you can call me Frank. Not yet. I'll tell you when.
I love that. Yeah.
For now.
Like, so arrogant. Like, he was like, he knows he's the king. Like,
for now, it's sir.
Yes. And who taught the FBI? And they're like,
But you could tell all Frank's scenes were filmed by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
because you don't see him together.
Right.
When you see the background of just his head, it's almost like Seinfeld and Steinbrenner.
Yes.
That's what it looked like.
But his reactions sometimes don't match up to the things that are being said to him. Yeah. So you're like, okay. But Frank's, what's not to love about Frank's?
No, that was awesome.
Hey guys, I'll give you 10 hours. That's it. No more, no less.
He's great.
But yeah, and he calls Don Don for a favor. That's his little favor. And now, why did they have to dress up like Arab girls?
Oh, well, the belly Arab dancers? They had to save the Sheik. So they're all Arab girls there.
Oh, so they were doing that to get picked.
To get hired
and then thrown into. That makes sense.
Right, but that's when what's his name? Telly Savalas is like, who hired these three Bow Wows?
Right, right.
And the singing. I remember as a kid, I was laughing at that scene. Yeah. Because Sammy Davis Jr. looks so small because Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds are two big
massive
guys. Yeah. And you have Sammy Davis Jr. in the middle of them. I think one of them hip checks him off stage.
Yeah, Dom. And then Alex Rocco goes, I ain't no singer, but even I could follow that act. Yeah.
And even I love Telly Savalas in that line too. When he comes in, he looks at him, he's like, you're going to hire these girls? He's like, he grabs Dom DeLuise's hand and he's like, you ever hear a Nair? And they're like, we're working on it.
There's a great thing. I don't know if you guys caught it, but during the audition, Dean's smoking a cigarette and he's like really nervous. He's like, oh, they're going to be found out. And at one point he drops the cigarette and it lands perfectly in the shot glass. Yes. And I said, I wonder if that was my mistake because he looked surprised. He looked down. He was like, oh, it landed in the shot glass. I thought that was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, that was brilliant.
And Charles Nelson, because obviously he had a call from Sinatra. He's like, ladies, you're hired.
Lifetime contracts for you guys.
Lifetime. But the face they're all making when they see them up there, how ugly they look and how awkward. Like they're all from Dean Martin to Charles Nelson Reilly to tell it was like, they're like hideous. Like,
Seeing Dom DeLuise do the hip thrust in that belly dancer, that will never leave my mind.
That was very funny.
And Telly is a great villain. Like,
yeah, he's
he
fantastic.
Should have done it more. Well,
you notice his voice. His voice is so intimidating. It's so intimidating.
Hey,
it's,
baby.
Yeah.
How about his line when he says a joke and he goes, guys, laugh. That was funny.
That was funny. Yeah.
But then he made a face because it wasn't that, like, they were laughing too hard or something like that.
And then he talks about the hormones with Sammy Davis Jr. And he goes, I think they're overprescribed. Right.
He had a comeback for each one of them, which is very funny.
He was great.
He was good, man. And then they break out and then they get sent too, because when they get hired, they go to Falafel. They break him out, which not for nothing. That guy probably doesn't think he's being kidnapped.
No, he's got women fanning him. He's tied up. And then
his feet getting tickled.
And then Dean Martin had a great, he points up, there's a girl on a swing.
Yeah.
And he goes, can I take that with me? I think he's talking about the girl and the swing, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, fantastic.
And the Sheik said, there was something, I think when he said that, the Sheik says, there's only so much water in the fountain.
Yeah, that was ladies, there's only so much water in the fountain.
And then I love that when they get surrounded, so all of them are surrounded, they're found out, and Telly Savalas and his guys are surrounding them. And the fact that when I love when he asks them for all their last meals.
Yep.
Hey, did you see that picture where the bad guys get the last request?
Yeah,
sure. The Late Show.
It's really a good movie.
A last meal, perhaps you could lay a little barbecue on us, you know, something that you would go over the coals with.
I'll have some quiche and a little chocolate mousse.
Shish kebab. Couscous.
Friggin' chickasee? Chicken fricassee. And you?
I'd like a wine list.
Or any last request?
Well, before that. He goes, before that, your money or your life?
My money or your life?
Money. He's got the money.
He's got the money.
And that's when they pass the money around and the thing. And
Sammy asks for some barbecue. He's like, can I get a little barbecue? Yeah. And then Dom, fricassee chicken? Or,
chicken fricassee?
Burt Reynolds says quiche.
Right.
He likes quiche.
Come on. And last meal, you're going to do quiche?
What do you think? What would be your last meal?
Sushi buffet, all you can eat.
Whoa.
All you can eat.
Really?
I'm taking my time.
And then Dean.
Jamie, we're supposed to execute you 7 hours ago. I'm still eating.
All you can eat.
Rodizio, you have the green light still up on the Rodizio, the green side. You're like, ah.
And then Dino asked for a wine list because classy as hell.
Unbelievable.
Again, another great line when Dean's drinking milk in the beginning of the movie, and Sammy goes, aren't you afraid that it's going to curdle once it hits your liver? And then Dean goes, my liver died years ago. I love that line. I thought it was so funny.
And again, it's probably all ad lib because these guys are so used to each other that it's.
And then right from here, all the cannonballers that they were with before showed up just in time.
You hear the cavalry music.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're on their way.
The fight scene.
And again, like I said, they had it in the first movie. So, like, I guess you knew this was coming. Because it's the first one. It's like, just same thing. You see individual fights. This one, you see individual fights. You hear Tony Danza says, oh, it reminds me of Brooklyn.
Yeah. And that guy takes a really crazy fall down those stairs. His brother or his cousin.
Oh, with the monkey?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he gets thrown out, and then the monkey goes, well, I was like, I'll take care of business.
Tony Dan goes, looks like a real tough guy. Maybe I should go up there. And the monkey puts his hands out, stops Tony Danza, and he walks up there. He waddles up there.
No. He waddles up there, but they put it in fast forward, so it'd be faster.
Yeah, faster. And then he just does one of his smacks, and the guy rolls right down. So the other guy couldn't handle him. The monkey does one hit and just knocks him down.
And then Captain Chaos throwing people through
Captain
windows.
Captain Chaos was doing a lot of damage.
There's one little thing where he throws the guy through the window and then he busts through the door and the piece of the wood lands on the guy's face. And you could tell that guy was like, don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move.
Yep,
don't move.
Yep. And then you have Theismann also.
Yeah. Oh, he was kicking ass. That's what I mean. He was cool in this movie.
Well, but Reynolds goes, you look like you're some kind of athlete or something. He goes, well, yeah, I played a little and then he got tackled. The scene's always classic. Just everybody getting beat up.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of like Anchorman, like the scene in Anchorman where 100%. Everyone's fighting each other, like different individual battles.
And then
Jackie
Chan really is the only one that can't fight. So right. He's out there, you know. And I think, again, I think that's the first time you really introduced the Jackie in the first movie. But I think the first fight doesn't have some of the silly, like, two of the guys got thrown. Oh, like, Telly Savalas got thrown. Ridiculous.
Well, oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the one guy gets thrown.
And Jaws throws the other one.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like swimming down the hall. And then, again, another throwback to James Bond. When Terry Savalas gets thrown, that's the same motion that the bad guy at Moonraker, when he gets sucked out of the airlock he does the spin.
Yeah, you're right.
Except in that movie, you don't see the wires holding up the actor as he's
flying. Jaws might be in the first movie. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Oh, in Cannonball Run?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He might be.
You're a real Bond expert. We really have to find a Bond.
I love James Bond. Right. The way that Chris Egan is a horror expert and Andrew is the action expert, I like James Bond.
I mean, you did two munchies, you did your time, and now you're going from Cannonball Run to James Bond.
Is Dom DeLuise or any connection between a munchie and a James Bond? We have to find that connection.
That's gonna. Yeah, I think Gage played a bad guy in one of the James Bond.
Yeah.
So then we have Charles. Is Charles Nelson Reilly trying to get with Sammy?
No, because he owes him money. So he's looking at all the expensive jewelry that Sammy Davis Jr. is wearing.
Yeah, but it looks like he's flirting with him.
No, he's excited. I think he's flirting with the money.
Oh, okay.
But what kind of gun is that? It looked one of those small water pistols that tiny. It was a tiny gun. Like, can that do that much damage?
It's like one of those ones you get from like the 25-cent machines back in the day.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if as a real gun, that's small. Can it do that much damage?
Not really.
Maybe a little, ow.
Yeah, like bounce off
like a mosquito bite. Yeah.
But he hands the gun to Sammy, and then Sammy turns the tables.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then you find out the Sheik became partners.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Why wouldn't he? He was being pampered there by six women.
That's true.
And apparently he's got tons of money because he gave him $9 million to pay off Telly Savalas and then gave him another $9 million for petty cash or
petty
what do you
cash.
Say?
Yeah. Spending change. Yeah. It's a drop in the well, he says.
Yeah. And then he raised the price of the race to $2 million.
To $2 million.
So this is the only part where you actually see a race, I think.
But do you? Well, because we just watched this together because I just finished the movie.
You saw the lines, and it showed that it was a race.
It was a 5-minute ending.
And the map was weird. You would think if it was like a cross country, it would be like from west to east, but it's from north to south.
Well, they were going all over the place. It looked like a child like trying to trace for the first time, and it was going over the rocks, under the rocks, you know. So yeah, so this is the race, and then you find out when you see a fast car pull up that the race was done like what? Five hours ago?
Right. Yeah.
So the guy in the fast car was 5 hours late.
He says, hey, buddy, go in the bar and have some drinks because you're 5 hours late.
And get ready for your racing tomorrow.
You're 5 hours.
You're racing back tomorrow.
So they were setting up for Cannonball 3, but never happened.
I guess.
What was the trailer that you sent me with John Candy? Did that happen?
So there is another movie, Speed something I sent you, that is...
Speed Zone. Yeah, that's a third one.
So it's technically a third one. Jamie Farr plays a Sheik in that one. I never saw it.
So it is a sequel. No.
Well, there's not one person but Jamie.
But it still counts.
And it supposedly bombed.
Well, we covered some very loosely based sequels. So, John Candy, Eugene Levy? Right. Well,
might have to add it to the list.
Some of the reviews
might
for
have
this
to add
movie.
To the list. But I heard it's supposed to bomb. But it has a lot of big names in there. I mean, a lot of SCTV people.
Yeah,
cool. So, we might have to find someone for that one.
But
so the father's disappointed in the Sheik again.
Yeah.
And he says, listen, And father said, you have one last chance. First of all, I don't know why the father cares about winning. He's got tons of money, apparently. So why does he care about winning?
And they live in America? I thought they were
They live in... Because they always play the Sheik music every time
I know. In there. Oh, you only play Sheik music in...
I don't play any Sheik music. But I'm just saying, every time you see Jamie Farr, they play the Sheik music.
His dad should have been the Iron Sheik.
That would have been great.
Yeah, he should have been the Iron Sheik.
He probably was just getting big at this point. 84?
Yeah, mid-80s.
WrestleMania started 85?
That would have been cool. That
would have been really funny.
But... I don't know why the father cares so much. It's only a race. Like, why does he care so much?
Because he wants to preserve the falafel name because they're the fastest. Remember in the beginning?
Well, he said in the beginning, we are the fastest
camels.
And planes, except for your car. He says, because you lost. So he says, father, we're going to win this one. I hired the winner of this year's race to be my co-pilot.
Surprise.
And surprise, it's the monkey who gives the father a kiss. Now,
so that was the winner. So Tony didn't win.
Does that mean Tony Danza and the other guy sat in the front outside of the car the whole time and the monkey drove?
Drove the car.
So the monkey won $1 million. That's so
monkey's a bully. I mean,
he's a bully.
So yeah.
He's abusive.
He likes to give fingers to people, the finger to people.
So yeah.
But the blooper reel was great at the end, though. The blooper reel was fantastic.
Well, they I think they're like the first, like one of the first movies to start doing that because they did it in the first movie also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then some other movies started following suit. I think Naked Gun. I know. Did Naked Gun do that? No.
I don't know.
No, but I mean, so they did it in the first movie and they did the second one. So it's great. Really should watch it. It's fantastic. It's great.
I'll finish
it. Yeah, the blooper reel is great.
I'll finish
There's a part in the beginning when Burt Reynolds is shoving hay in Dom DeLuise's face and you do multiple takes.
Oh.
Dom DeLuise is like, no, don't take it over here where no one's going. Like, take that piece. And then as he's like spitting it out, he's like, I don't know how animals eat this shit.
Like, it's like, I don't think anyone pissed on this one.
Yeah. There's a lot of funny. And then when the monkey kisses Montalban, he goes, now if your mother kissed like that,
we still be married.
Yeah,
oh my God.
There's like a lot of funny, funny ad lib stuff. You got to see it.
Check it out.
Yeah.
So that was Cannonball Run 2. Go to our guest first, who this has got to be like a walk in the park compared to Munchie and Munchie Strikes Back. Would you recommend this?
This was a cool breeze on a beautiful spring day compared to Munchie. I would definitely recommend this movie. It was a lot of fun. It was wild, wacky. Cameos are great. I would definitely recommend this movie. And I'm going to go and actually watch the original because
That's awesome.
You just made the estate of all these actors because none of them are alive.
Yeah.
For the most part, I love them all. Just made a few bucks.
Yeah. They're great.
Or pennies, probably.
Well, you know my answer. I mean, I think you nailed it with it is a fun movie. It's a fun movie. It's a, is it a cheesy movie? It is. But just the fact that all these actors were willing to take a movie like this, I think if they made a movie like this today, it would be awesome. But can they take the pay cut so they can make the movie?
Yeah.
I don't know if they would do that. But imagine like The Rock in there with Stallone, even throw Arnold in there. You throw in Liam Neeson. You throw in throwing all these people. I think it'd be awesome. I think people would go see it. But without a doubt, even if you didn't see the first one, you can enjoy this one.
Oh, yeah.
But once you see the first one, you'll see it's the same thing, but it's same exact. It's awesome. They're both great.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think the critics got it, though, because it only got like a 13 or something on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's like...
Comedies never do well for the most part.
We're not making The Godfather here. We're not making,
We're making Don Don The Godfather.
Read a lot of reviews, a lot of people said like, oh, it's so cheesy. It's not good. The first one's great. But you know what, though? Again, you got to look at it's a fun movie where you look like... They all look like they're having fun.
Yeah.
Like, they all look like... I mean, the scenes with Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr., they all look like they're having a great time
just
riffing on each other.
Yeah, riffing.
That's what the whole point is. So if you're going to look too deep in it as a cheesy movie, then you're missing the point of having all these actors in one movie having fun,
Totally agree.
Screw them.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with both of you guys. I think it was a lot of fun. I loved it. And Jamie, I hope you enjoyed it because after this, strap in your seatbelt. We have our third annual Scary Sequel Month. Ooh. And we started off, as you guys know, we've done it every year. We do a review on the Thursday and then the interviews are on Monday. So it's action packed. And we started off with two interviews for this episode. We're doing Hellraiser Inferno. Rachel Kearns, who was on a bunch growing up as a kid actress. She was on a bunch of Disney shows. She plays Little Girl in the Rain in Hellraiser, but she had some cool memories from set. So that'll be an interview that'll be next. And then also Patricia Cara, who plays a freaking Cenobite in this movie. We talked about Deal or No Deal and just so much more. She still looks great, by the way. Oh, she was so cool. I love talking to her. She was so cool because during it, it was like we were having issues on the Zoom and she was like so calm and we had a great chat. So yeah, so prepare for Halloween because this month we have a lot of epic interviews. Three out of four movies that, oh, maybe two. Two of the movies I definitely know that I like.
I'm not sure if I've seen any of them.
Oh, Halloween 4 is great.
Never seen it.
Ooh.
I said I haven't seen any of these movies. I was never a Halloween fan, so I've only seen really the new one and the one Mike Myers drives.
Well, he drives. He might drive in this one too.
Okay.
But yeah, so don't forget to review, rate, share our podcast. Follow us on all social media at Sequels Only. And don't forget to check out our website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.